spring. Summertime. Yeah. liking it. You can tell those teachers at summertime. Yeah. Whole new bounce in the step and all that. Love those kids. Also love to send them home. Good stuff. Yeah, I got a few amens out there from the teachers and the former teachers and the things of that nature. So welcome and thank you once again for having me. This is a privilege when I do this. I never take this for granted. Nobody promises you this. The opportunity to be able to study, share some thoughts that God has shared with you, and I pray that every time. I'm praying that right in the middle of the lesson. You know, hey God, you got something new for me right now. Don't hold back. I mean, you know, last minute. You know, God's never last minute. I mean, it's just right on His timing. So that's a good thing. Appreciate your prayers for my situation at home. You know, as you know, we moved a while back, so you got the inevitable boxes and things of that nature. And so, you know, we'd gone through most of them, and then my wife so kindly reminded me, oh, honey, we still have a bunch of things in storage. And it's like, oh my gosh. So now it's like, you know, we get the stuff out of storage so we don't have to pay for the storage facility anymore while we kind of had some things there. And now we look around, it's like, oh, now we start over again. So it's a little bit, you know, you guys have been there. It's a little bit disconcerting, you know, when you see those things. But it's good. It reminds us how blessed we are in this country. You know, we have so much. So much to be thankful for, and so I'm just looking for ways that to declutter, and it's like, hey, you know, hey God, if you can help us declutter by blessing this stuff with somebody else, we want to do that. So fortunately, there are places out there to help you with that, and we just want to seek God in those things as well. But we're grateful. We're grateful for our homes and for the, you know, clothes on our back and the food that we eat, and grateful for the opportunity to do a little bit of that with y'all later as we share that meal together. And that's a blessing. That's a blessing as well. It's a tough act to follow that young lady. Thanks, guys. put that up on YouTube, and I've seen that before. And it's interesting as we watch that. I don't know if we think about when that young lady's, you know, going through that really fast-paced MTV style, you know, thing where, you know, it's the, you know, the pace is just much quicker, you know, today as people go into that.
the applicant.
Mr. Wall, please.
The idea of judgment is God setting all things right. God's gonna fix things here, and that's a part of this good news message here. And so the kingdom, as I mentioned, God's the king. You know, Jesus is the world's true Lord.
Testing 1, 2.
In all terms that have recognized.
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4.
And finally, the Holy Spirit.
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4.
Do you think you would feel, towards a Nazi, if you guy was doing at least two things right. Number one, he was attempting to establish something in the way of a connection with God. He said, God, let's talk. Let's communicate here. And notice the second thing he's doing. He's giving alms to the poor. A person, whether they're a believer or not, when they engage in these kinds of things, they're still accomplishing something significant. They're participating in a way in God's new world. Because God, as the righteous judge, doesn't like poverty. He doesn't like that. That's why Jesus would say, inasmuch as you did it unto the least of my brethren, you did it unto me. Any of those efforts will not go unnoticed by God. God saw that. God takes notice of those kinds of things. And even this person who's on the outside of things, God brings him into the picture here. Giving alms, this giving to the poor is recognizing that this is God's wise order. It reminds us, as the scriptures say, God's not without a witness in any culture. God's out there recognizing what people are doing here. And I want to share this account here from C.S. Lewis from The Last Battle. Some of you are familiar with Chronicles of Narnia. Maybe heard the movie, seen the, read some. I've read some of the stories next to this century. C.S. Lewis, incredible writer, incorporates these Christian themes and does it in a way that's universally recognized. Even people who are not believers say, hey, C.S. Lewis, tremendous writer. Just tremendously talented. Check this out here. I'm going to share from this one section from The Last Battle. It was the seventh and final novel of the Chronicles of Narnia. I think it was published in 1956. And in this, here's an individual talking to Aslan. Aslan's the lion. And you know that Aslan, in C.S. Lewis' stories, that's a symbol of Jesus, the lion of the tribe of Judah. But the glorious one bent down his golden head and touched my forehead and said, Son, thou art welcome. But I said, alas, Lord, I am no son of thine, but of the servant of Tash. Now see, Tash was a false lion. That wasn't Aslan there. So this is the plot kind of thickens here. I'm no son of thine, but the servant of Tash. He answered, Child, all the service thou hast done to Tash, I account as service done to me. Then I said, Lord, is it true that thou and Tash are one? And the answer here is significant. The lion growled so that the earth shook. But his wrath was not against me, and he said, It is false. I said, he replies back, I've been seeking Tash all my days. Beloved, said the glorious one, unless thy desire had been for me, thou wouldst not have sought so long and so truly. For all mine, see, this is indicative of Cornelius here. Cornelius had no first-hand knowledge of Jesus. He didn't understand all the nuances of the Trinity. Jesus being the second person of the Godhead, all of these things. But what's the difference here? He sought God. And God recognized his service, whether it was giving alms or his prayers, as service done to him. God finds a way to make himself known to this individual. See, that's encouraging to me. That's encouraging to me that the Lord is a rewarder, as the scriptures say, the Lord is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There's people out there seeking God. Not everybody. Not everybody, but there's people out there seeking God. And God what? God has a way of taking care of this. So what does he do? That angel also reveals to Cornelius that I'm going to send somebody to you. I'm going to send a spokesperson. All right? So send these three men out, and I'll tell you exactly where to find them. But then as all of these events are unfolding, what's God doing also? At the other end of things, he's working with the messenger, Peter. Now, again, Jews are not prone to have a lot of communication with Roman soldiers and Gentiles in general and things of this nature. So God has to prepare the way. So what does God do? Y'all remember the story. Big sheep comes out of the air. You know, you couldn't make this stuff up, could you? I mean, this is just amazing stuff. You know, how is God going to get the point across to Peter that it's okay to hang around with folks other than Jews? Big sheep comes out of here, has all these animals, and he says, here you go. Dinner. There you go. Let's have a barbecue. And Peter's looking at this, and, oh, no, this is all the unclean stuff. You know, didn't you tell us, you know, not to eat this stuff? He says, now you don't understand. Jesus has changed everything. This is all a part of my good creation. If I make something, it's not unclean. And of course, the point is obvious, right? There are no people that are unclean. It doesn't matter their skin color. It doesn't matter their nationality. It doesn't matter their cultural background. If God made you, you are good. That's a part of God's good creation. You know, we've corrupted it, but God is now becoming king, and he's going to fix things. What God has made clean, you don't call uncommon. Still got a little bit of this today, right? Yeah. Notice this quote. Unfortunately, most of the major denominations still practice segregation in local churches, hospitals, schools, and other church institutions. It is appalling that the most segregated hour of Christian America is at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning, the same hour when so many are standing to sing, in Christ there is no east and west. Now, obviously, this is a quote from back in the 1960s. Have things changed? Not enough. No, it's better. No, I've lived through those times. I've lived it today. I can honestly say it's better. But it's not enough, is it? If Sunday morning in these churches are still the most segregated hour of the week, something is wrong. God doesn't like it, and we're his ambassadors to fix that. Okay. Brother, I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm glad I'm looking out here and I'm seeing something other than a face that looks like, you know, looks like mine. Hey, invite some more. You know. But it's not all on him, is it? You know? Well, let's all invite some more. And don't just invite them to church. That's too easy. Invite them over to eat at your house. Invite people, you know, go out to a movie. Hang out. You know, do the things that friends, you know, do. You know. Notice that the civil rights program grew out of Christian churches. That's who Martin Luther King was. You know, can't have a name like Martin Luther, not, you know, kind of have that background, right? You know, these kinds of things. You know, there's still a job to be done. Well, Peter recognizes this as well. God's preparing them. Behold, three men are looking for you. Rise, go down and accompany with them without hesitation, for I have sent them. Listen this week. Get a few moments of the quiet. Turn off the TV. I'm preaching myself here. I'm a TV movie freak, you know, all this kind of stuff. Get in the quiet with God. Who's God sending? You know, what kind of divine appointments does God have with you? Because it's interesting the way that this unfolds here with Peter. It says, Cornelius was expecting them and called together his relatives and closest friends. See, not only does he get to talk to Cornelius, Cornelius invites some folks. I think that's what happens when you hang out with folks. All those people have relatives and friends too. Maybe you start getting invited to events where those people are. I mean, this is how we talk to people. This is how we meet people. This is just We're social creatures by nature. That's how God created us, and I'm glad it's that way. But now, we'll also make a quick note of this. Was this an overnight transformation for Peter? Did Peter get over all of his prejudices all at once here? Now, if you read Galatians, you know, Paul has to jump in later because he's eating with his own fellow Jews and he's avoiding the Gentiles and things like that. Even years later, Peter still kind of lived in that prejudice stuff. This is a lifelong process for us. It's not an overnight transformation. But the point is what? The journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. It's got to all start somewhere. Let God get you out of your comfort zone this week. See what happens. Just take a step. Just one step. Just one single step. Something that you haven't done before. In other words, you know, be the bridge. You know, if people are going to be introduced to this Jesus who changes everything, somebody or some people have to be the bridge. You got the picnic going on today, right? Hey, there you go. Bridge time. Hand out some Bibles, talk to some people. We're social creatures by nature. There are people out there like Cornelius that are looking to take advantage of that. So as you see, you know, Cornelius says, I'm ready. I sent for you at once. And you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. See, Cornelius doesn't know it, but he's about to get his own exodus. We talked about that last time. Whenever you see salvation, deliverance in Bible, think exodus. What was the exodus about? We're going to leave the oppression, and we're going to come back into the. That's why you have the pillar of fire, the pillar of smoke. You know, God's there with them. Cornelius recognizes that. He understands that we all have that need. Truly, Peter preaches here. Truly, I understand God shows no partiality, but in every nation, everyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. Just this one encounter has begun to change Peter's thinking there. All are accepted in the presence of God. All get their own exodus. Paul will help to unpack that mystery in his letters later, but we already see the seeds of it right here. And as for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all. Now notice the wisdom here of Peter as he begins to tell them about Jesus. He uses words that all Roman citizens will understand. Good news. You know, they use the word gospel all the time. You know, that they co-opted that word from the Roman culture. Whenever somebody said good news, that was always about Caesar. Caesar's here. He's going to fix everything. Peter's saying, what you think about Caesar is actually true of Jesus. Peace. The big phrase in the Roman culture was the Pax Romana, P-A-X, Pax, the peace of Rome. There was about a 200-year period there where everything was relatively war-free, and that was the period in which Jesus came there, the peace of Rome. Whenever you use the word peace, that's a buzzword among them. And then through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Lord, that's a term always applied to Caesar. It can be applied in a number of different ways, but primarily in that culture through Caesar there. These are well known. Now, again, put a little, I'm not even checking my time here. Obviously, we can go on with this. Yeah, I'm beginning to run short on time. That's okay. We can wrap this up whenever we need to. But put a little flesh and blood on this for a moment. That here's this Jew in the home of this high-ranking Roman official, and here he is speaking these Roman buzzwords to him. And good news, peace, Lord. All of which in his culture are always applied to Caesar, and he says, what you thought about Caesar is actually Jesus. It's actually Jesus who gives you peace. It's actually Jesus who fixes things. It's actually Jesus who is the true Lord of the world. This is because you yourselves know what happened. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. Again, power is going to be redefined. It's not the tanks and the guns and the cannons and the missiles and all of these kinds of things. It's going to be an assembled community of God who wraps a towel around their waist and goes out and washes other people's feet. I mean, this kind of humility is unheard of in this kind of culture. And there is Peter speaking about this. And speaking of Jesus, it says he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. I'm going to use that for the last slide of the teaching today. And I just want us to look at that. Notice how these things over and over again occur in these sermons. When we're talking about Jesus, what did he do? He went about doing good and healing. He is ushering in God's new world there. And in the process of doing that, he is delivering them from oppression. Again, more Exodus words there. God's people were oppressed in Egypt. He leads them out into his presence because what? That's what God's presence is. God is with us. You're around a lot of people nowadays who are oppressed. You're around a lot of people nowadays who need healing in a lot of different areas there. Just as Jesus did that, we're called to do that. That's why we're Christians. We're Christ followers. We do what Jesus did. So in going through some of these others, we do know at the end that when Cornelius receives this message, the power comes on him. And as a result of that, they're baptized. And totally immersed in everything that God has for us and everything that Jesus did. And so a direct sign there that, hey, the Gentiles are in. It's not just a closed club here anymore. So as we consider these things today, I'll just conclude with this. Think about the Exodus that people need in their lives there. Think about how the presence of God is so necessary in this. We're the bridge on all of that. God's got a specific call on you, I believe, this week and in the coming weeks to have these same kinds of divine appointments in your little life and in my life. Just as God prepared Peter for this, he's preparing us if we'll listen, if we'll be submissive, and if we'll get on board with what God has for each one of us today. See, I think that's exciting. You guys are all quiet this morning. You know, it's okay to be happy about this. You can even be an old guy like me who's heard some of these things, you know, numerous times throughout the course of your life. Yet you can get up every day and say, it's something new today because God's, you know, everything's new every morning. You know, his faithfulness is great in all of this. You know, regardless of your age, I don't care if you're, you know, 12 to, you know, old guy like me or whatever it might be, you know, all of those things are still there for you. And it's exciting and it's good. But it gives your life meaning, value, and purpose. And the reason why we can get up like that young lady said, hey, this is what I believe. This is what I believe. And I'm sorry. So, if you want to get on board, there may be people who've never, like Cornelius, you've never heard this. You want to be baptized. You want the Holy Spirit to come and walk with you and empower you to do these things. I invite you to do that. And we're going to sing a song and come forward and do that. We're going to have a time where we're going to be praying here in a few minutes for people who maybe want help with this, you know. But I'm inviting everybody to be that bridge. I'm inviting me to be that bridge, you know, this week. get out of our comfort zone, know that everything that God created is good. So if you want to respond to that in any way this morning, I'm just putting that before you. I appreciate your time and listening to this, and we're getting ready to sing. So if you want to respond to that in any way, would you do that while we stand?